GM of the Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us once again. Ed, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jay?
Good. Not a surprise. We've talked to you throughout. Aaron Grimes didn't make it any secrets that he was, you know, having some NFL aspirations and wants to give himself one final opportunity to see if he can make it or not. Do you see similarities in his situation to Matt O'Donnell in one that, you know, you might not see Grimes until at the earliest August, September?
No, I mean, I'm not going to try to predict when he'll be back. Obviously, if he gets an opportunity to make the team, you know, we'll wish him well and hope that he can. This sport is a rough sport. If you can make as much money as you can, you know, go ahead. But he knows our feelings about him, and we've had conversation. He's kept us in the loop, as I've mentioned many times beforehand. We talked the day before the announcement was announced. And I let him know that, you know, should his dream not come true in Philly, that there's a place for him in Edmonton, and he understands that. But as of right now, he's with Philadelphia, and we're big fans.
And that creates a pretty big void in your secondary for sure. Grimes, arguably the best, cover halfback in the league. I know you're one who probably was preparing for this. When you have your camps coming up for guys where you've uncovered, you know, Dexter McCoyles and other guys recently, do you go in now with the need even more to find a half cover guy? And what are the differences to get a cover guy who's a halfback to a corner in the CFL?
No, I think we'll continue to look. I mean, change happens, you know what I mean? And we have to accept it, right? You know, guys play well and play well on a good team. NFL teams are going to look, or other teams in free agency are going to look. You know, our approach isn't going to change. We would still look for guys, whether they're coming in to compete. You know, everyone that we look to bring onto our roster, we're looking with the ability to come in and be able to play and play right away. I mean, we felt that way about Aaron before anyone knew who he was or what he could do. And, you know, we feel that will happen as we move forward. You know, when we look at a veteran, we're going to look at all options. But as far as the difference between a corner and a half, you know, you have to be able to, you know, have the speed and the ability to, you know, to cover in this league. And you have to be able to also understand the concepts and show. And that's what we're looking for, is athletes that can do that. And it's up to the coaches to get those guys prepared and ready to go. But our approach in the offseason isn't any different than it would be any other year. It's just go out and find the best players you can. No one hears about them or knows who they are. And then hopefully those guys come in and can make a name for themselves.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, when you look for secondary guys, is there a difference for a successful halfback compared to a corner in your eyes?
No, because Grimes was brought in to be a corner. And he evolved into a very good halfback. I mean, I think if you have the ability to cover in space and have confidence in the technique that you're being taught, and you have the ability to turn and run when receivers get past you and have the ability to make a play on the football, I think you possess those skills that are necessary to play in this league. As far as the difference between a half and a corner, I mean, we've seen where guys have played corner in this league and have moved into halfback depending on matchup, who they're matching up against. So you just have to have the ability to cover. You know, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, he's a corner and limited to playing that. I believe that if you find versatile enough athletes to cover, you will find guys that can play a dual role back there in the secondary. Marcel Young was a corner as well that transitioned in the halfback. It happens. You know, it's like, I know we've had Pat Watkins play halfback at times based on matchup and games. You guys still got to be able to cover and follow your man when man concept comes about. But as it sits right now, we're going to go out and find the best athletes that we can, and maybe it will be a vet or two, or maybe it'll be just a young secondary. But as change happens, you know, it's an opportunity for someone else to come and make a name for themselves.
What about a guy to play nickel? Sometimes, depending on the defensive system you're on, it can be a linebacker. But a lot of times now, for most teams, it's a secondary guy who can be a little bit physical when needed. Otha Foster is gone. Does it depend on the defense you run, Ed, as far as the talent or skill set you're looking for in the nickel, or is it irrelevant based on the defense you run?
No, you want it to be a guy that can cover it. You know, a guy that obviously could be physical in at that area. But, again, the ultimate ability that that player must have is the ability to cover a receiver. So, realistically, you know, they're defensive backs. And you tend to find that that position there is a guy that's generally not that doesn't shy away from contact when called upon. But also have the ability to, you know, run with, you know, receivers on that wide field and also be able to, you know, play in space. Now, where guys can play and where they have the ability to, you know, to fit in, you know, again, we'll have a chance to see that when we watch them. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that a guy who plays strictly a nickelback doesn't have the ability to play corner and vice versa. It's just making sure that, when you have those guys out there, you have versatility, and that's what we're looking for, and that's what we look for when we have the guys come out. I think when we have them at mini camps and we have them at the workout camps, we ask everyone to play in the slot because it gives us a true feel of what they can do, whether they can, you know, open their hips and turn and run and be able to break down on when the receiver's making a break and also be able to make plays on the ball and be able to, you know, feel comfortable and look confident, you know, in the slot. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, identifying who can play that or not, again, it's a matter of what kind of athlete that you're, you know, looking for. And we still want to be a team with great length. So, you know, we're not overly interested in becoming a team that's under, you know, 5'10". Just for the sake of filling a spot. You know, we want to continue looking for the guys that we feel can play not only in this league, but play the kind of ball that we want them to play and have the length and size that we want to continue with our success.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, two signings today, two guys with 4 years of, four-plus years of NFL experience. Jacoby Ford, speedster, wide receiver, and then Joe McKnight, running back, who bounced around the NFL a little bit after being drafted by the Jets and also with the Chiefs. Also interesting the fact both can return kicks. Do you see, you know, these two guys as potential replacements for what Kendall Lawrence brought?
I mean, that's the hope. You know, we brought those guys, you know, we signed those guys with that intention, right, and to go out there and do what they do and showcase those abilities. You know, we're continuing to move forward. Like we're going to continue to build our roster to be competitive so our fans can understand and cheer for this team. You know, our approach has not changed one bit, you know, with the championship, with people leaving. You know, it's just you have to continue to put your team together with the intent of being competitive enough to compete for the championship. And that's what we're doing. I mean, you can't hold on to everyone, but you have to be able to replace, whether that be due to injury or due to guys leaving and going elsewhere. The show doesn't stop when a guy or two leaves. So, you know, we're just continuing to go about our business as usual and looking to put the best roster we can together for our fans to enjoy, you know, Eskimo football for 2016.
Speaking of the schedule in 2016, Ed, kind of unique, no home games for 6 weeks. I guess the bye weeks are a little bit closer than they were last year, only 14 straight weeks rather than 17. I was looking at the calendar. I don't see anything that's in Commonwealth Stadium. Was it just a glitch in the schedule? What do you make of not playing a home game for basically 6 straight weeks late in the season? Is that an issue at all?
You know, I vowed never to say, if I don't have anything good to say, I won't say anything at all.
Okay, fair enough. I guess then let's move to the kind of how you're going to fill out your roster. It's true. It's very true. We've all been taught that saying. That's true.
Great. Hey, Jason. Why say anything? I'm not interested in being fined, and let's continue talking about our roster and not that schedule.
Okay, That's fair. That's fair. I had to ask, but that's fair. You don't want to get fined. You've been fined once. I get you don't want to get fined again. Start the new year without fine. That's nice.
Well, if you tell the truth, you get fined, right?
Well, that is true, which is sad state anyway. Your roster, the offensive line's better than it's ever been. I think the receiving core looks very good. The competitions, when you go out to these camp now for yourself and Jones and the rest of your scouting staff, Torrey Hunter and all those guys, based on past camps, Ed, and you've unearthed some guys that a lot of people don't know their names. You guys have uncovered them. Because of the past success, do you find are more players like when you they players probably follow Dexter McCoy's story? Here's a guy who just they took a chance on him. 2 years later, now he's got an NFL deal, right? Do you think that helps you have players who maybe want to give the CFL a shot, whereas maybe a few years before they might not have?
I think it works. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, there's players out there that obviously want to play professional football. They're looking for an opportunity. The fact that, you know, there's so many teams to choose from, and because we charge our camps, because, you know, for us it takes care of the facility costs and all that different things. I think the players, when they hear a story of Dexter or anyone else that has come up here and played well and has made a career or gone back to the NFL, whatever their motivation is, I still think it comes down to, you know, having an understanding or looking at the roster and seeing where they're the best fit. You know, we would love for all the players to come to work out for us, but they have many teams to choose from. And I think a lot of it has to do with how we, you know, we treat them when we're out there. We take pride in going out there and giving everybody a fair chance and giving everybody a great workout. There's some, you know, teams that I've hear about, and there's some, you know, players and agents have told us that, you know, they don't want to go to these camps because they're being asked to run a 40, and then when they don't run fast enough, they're being asked to leave, you know, and you know, so we don't do that. But as far as those players who are able to, you know, complete the workout, yeah, everyone wants their dream to be fulfilled and someone to notice them. And, you know, that's what we're in the business of. We're in the business of uncovering, you know, future stars of this league. And then on the odd occasion, when you have a player or two that is, you know, has an ability that far exceeds what the CFL can offer him, and he has a chance to go to the NFL, you know, then, you know, I guess we're all, as a league, we're doing a good job of, you know, putting the best product we can on the field, and we're getting players that are getting their opportunities to showcase what they have at the professional level, and, you know, get a second look or maybe a first look if they were overlooked in some cases by the NFL. But, you know, by no means we see ourselves as a feeder league to the NFL, but, you know, we also have to be realistic and understand that all things being equal, if given the opportunity, as we've seen in the case with McCoyle, Grimes, Jefferson, and some of the other players that have left the CFL to go give the NFL a shot, you know, you can't compare the two when we're talking about compensation and opportunity. Whether you like the NFL or not, the game or not, for the player who sacrifices his body, the NFL is the ultimate goal, and you know, and it gives them an opportunity to maximize the compensation for their abilities.
When is your first camp?
Well, we're going to Scottsdale on the 5th, and we have a camp in South Alabama on the 6th. So we start everything the 5th and 6th of March, and we will carry on all the way through to May. And we'll have our, as I mentioned, I think before on your show, we'll have our mini camp towards the end of April. And you know, we're held with the responsibility of finding the best players that we can. And when we get all those players together, we give them 3 days in Florida to compete in front of the coaches and work with the coaches. And we select the guys that we want to bring to training camp. We use the mini camp as a rookie camp as well. So, you know, when you get to Florida, it's one of those cases where if guys get there and they're survival of the fittest, as we call it, and you can get it through those 3 days. You have an idea of what the expectations are, what the coaches expect, what kind of conditioning you need to be in. But we've also seen it where guys come in day one and they pull hamstrings and they're done for the 3 days. And it's better to have that happen in April than happened in May, because then you're air cargoing guys in and out trying to keep the roster maintained. So I think it works for us, and we'll continue to do so.
Now, Ed, quickly, when you go to those camps, you have entire coaching staff that's pretty new in Edmonton, at least new to your team. Are all the coaches at camps, are they split up at the two different ones, or do you guys all go to Scottsdale and then and fly out to on the sixth of the different one? How's it work?
No, our scouts are at the camps, and we'll have a coach here and there at some of the camps, but for the most part, it'll be the scouts and the guys that have helped us over the years organize, work the camps. The coaches are primarily at the mini camp, the official mini camp that we would have that's in Florida, where it's a compilation of all the players that have been scouted and looked at and that we feel has an opportunity to compete at a high level. The coaches then get those players for the 3 days, and then they can work with them and make a determination as to who has the ability to do what in their offense or defense, and what positions they feel best suited. And if there are guys that can't fit, we still have close to 6 weeks to be able to go out and find that player that can at the remaining camps, and then we'll bring those guys in if needed.
Ed, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy your camps.
No problem. Thank you. Hey, I got a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think of the schedule?
Well, I guess technically it's better than last year. I still am kind of perplexed why you have 14 games in a row. The other thing, though, is I've tried to look, and I can't get an answer from anyone that says, because there's nothing booked at Commonwealth. I could see if you were kicked out because of FIFA, I understand why that happens. But, yeah, I haven't got any reasonable answer why a team would go 6 weeks out of the final seven without a home game. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're not into complaining and anything like that, but it makes it very difficult for a team trying to make a playoff run playing in those last four games on the road.
Yeah, well, I think you play four, and then you actually finish the season with a home game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of glanced at it and was like, yeah, okay.
So don't now, how like, do you guys bid on games? How does it work?
I mean, it's each team has a hand in their schedule, but I'm not going to get into it.
Well, I'll talk to Len Rose, because then he can get fined instead of you this time. How about that?
Yeah, you talk to him.
Thanks, Ed. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem.